Guys, we've been looking at impossible over this last few weeks, and we're going to look at it this morning, and we're going to look at the life of Esther, because I thought it was fitting that we would go to a woman this morning to encourage us with the great things that she achieved in the Old Testament. Before we do this, I want to read a verse. It says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." This is the time with Mother's Day. "For this is right. Honor your father and mother." And mother is the one that we're highlighting this morning. This is the first commandment with a promise. Look at that this morning. This is the first commandment with a promise. Because here's the promise. That it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. Or you may live long in the land. It depends what version you go for. But you'll live well and you'll live a long life. So you got to honor your mom. Why should you honor your mom? Well, think about it for just a moment. The moment you were born, she just gave up everything for you. It's just what moms do. That's a great rhyme. But the moment you were born, she gave it all up. She gave up her rights for you. So she's worth honoring because all she thinks about is you. Moms are worth a band because they know a thing or two. And that's why God says, honor your father and mother, because they've went before us, and so we've got to honor them. And why? Because we're going to live a long life and things are going to go well with us. And as Nikki said and I said earlier, we all have a mom, whether she's here or not. If she's not here, we honor her by the way that we live. If she is here, then we honor her while she does live, because we love her and we're blessed to have her. So don't forget our mothers this morning. They have been a great blessing to us. And I thought this, all they want to do is save their kids all of the time. That's all a mom really wants to do, is save their kids. And I thought, who does that remind us of? Jesus. All he ever wanted to do was save people. All he ever wanted to do was seek and to save the lost. And if we can take a leaf out of mom's books this morning, then it's that they save kids and they're there for us and they're protecting us and they're there to love us and they'll do it at the expense of themselves for us. So we're thinking about our moms. We're praying for our moms. And I encourage you to pray for your mom, respect your mom, because they have a tough job. Just look in the mirror. They have a tough job because they have to look after you. So think about your mom and pray for her a lot. You'll be blessed. I want us to look at the life of Esther. Let me just do a quick recap. You could read all 9 chapters of Esther, and I encourage you to do that. We don't have time to do it this morning. But let me give a quick recap of Esther. We've been looking at the impossible. We looked at Moses, we looked at David, and we looked at Mephibosheth. And we said to ourselves, wow, in the midst of all the circumstances, in the midst of all that they went through, God was able to do impossible things through them. And the number one reason they did that was because their faith was placed in God. And when God is there, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. And I think the number one thing that we need to hold on over this last few weeks and what we need to hold on over this next few weeks is that no matter what would come against us, no matter what would be robbed from us, no matter what would be taken from us, that we need to keep our faith in Jesus, that we need to keep our faith in God, even in the midst of the journey. Because it's in the midst of the journey where everything inside of us says, maybe I'll quit, maybe I'll give up on God, maybe I'll do something else. But God says this morning, keep strong in the midst of the journey, not in your own strength, but in his strength, because he's able to enable us. And God is here this morning. He wants to remind us that he does impossible things through ordinary people like me and you. And so the story of Esther is this, that Esther is a Jew in a foreign land. She's a Jew in a foreign land where nobody else is a Jew. And to be a Jew could actually be a threat to your life. And we're going to find out this morning that it ends up being a threat to her life and to all the Jewish people. And so Esther is also very beautiful. And what happens in the early part of Esther's, the first 2 chapters, is that they hold a beauty contest. There's King Xerxes, and he wants new wives. Back in those days, you could have multiple wives. I'm not sure why, but they did, because I have enough trouble. Only joking. I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful wife. Oh, she's being very kind there. But she is great. But back then, they loved multiple wives. I don't know why, but maybe they could handle it better. So King Xerxes wanted a new wife. And so what he did was he got 400 women together. He put them in like a corral or some kind of courtyard. And he says, you get beautified. You get all your makeup on. And then one by one, I'm going to request you. And then when it comes down to it, I'm going to pick the best one. And that's really it. Sounds weird, but that's what it was like back then. So King Xerxes, he asked for the different ladies to come through. And eventually Esther comes through and she takes his fancy and he goes, she is beautiful because she's got the favor of God on her life. And so that's where we're going to pick up the story in just a moment. But there's another important character I want us to just mention just from the outside, which is Mordecai. And he is Esther's uncle and he adopts Esther. And he's going to have a very important role in our stories this morning. And maybe there's very important people in your life. Don't despise them. They could be there for great reasons to help you out as you would navigate life. Here's what it says in Esther chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." And I want to say right from the outset is that God had his hand on Esther. And when you read the book of Esther, you'll realize very quickly you cannot read God in the whole book, and yet he's always there. And I want to encourage you from the outset in our lives, there may be days where you don't feel God, where God's not even mentioned, but he's always, always there. And I want to encourage you that from the very outset, that the book of Esther does not mention God the whole way through, and yet his presence is evident the whole way through as he protects and has his hand on Esther. And God has his hand on you this morning, whether sometimes we like it or not, it's for good. He's got his hand on you. And you can see even in an awful situation where Esther gets put into a terrible position, God's hand is on her, and she's promoted and she's elevated. And we're going to find out in the story why that is a bit later on. But the story goes on, and for the sake of time, we'll fast forward and I'll summarize it. But in chapter 2 and chapter 3, what happens is that Mordecai, we're going to read it in just a moment, won't bow down. And so Haman, who is another important character in the story, he devises a plan to try to wipe out all of the Jews. And he says, that goes to King Xerxes, and he says, "I've got a plan. We're going to wipe out all of the Jews because they're just no good. They won't bow down to us, and they won't honor us, and they definitely won't honor you as king." And to seal the deal, he gives the king some money. And of course, the king goes, "Okay, I'll take it." And here's where the trouble starts. It says this in chapter 3, verse 5. "When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai." Listen to how horrible this plan is. "Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes." And so this is what he does. He comes up with a decree that says, hey, they won't bow to us, they won't honor us, it's time to get rid of us, it's time to get rid of them. And he goes to the king and he signs the decree. And back in those days, when a king signed a decree, it was irreversible. It was unchangeable. You could not change that. And what he sets in stone is this, that in a year's time, all of the Jews are going to be wiped out in all of the land. They're all going to be deleted. They're all going to be annihilated. They're all going to be destroyed. Where have we heard that before? Because God's chosen people are always going to be attacked by the enemy. God's chosen people are always going to be attacked by the enemy. And this morning, if you are in Christ, then you are one of his. And as a result, you're going to be attacked by the enemy. And we've got to be wary this morning. We've got to be mindful this morning. That's why Ephesians 6 tells us to take on the whole armor of God, because it protects us against the wiles of the enemy. And this morning, there is an enemy who is real, but Jesus is greater. And that's what we need to know this morning. Jesus is greater. So even in our sickness, even in our trouble, even in our issues, Jesus is greater. Hold fast to your faith. He will do impossible things through you. And so a plan is set in place. But I've got good news. There was another plan that was coming into place. And God was raising up another plan in the midst of a terrible plan. And we're going to read it this morning. It says this. Mordecai shares his plan with Esther, and he comes up with a plan to say, hey, we've got to get to Esther because she's in a place of position and she could maybe make a difference. And in Esther chapter 4, verse 13, it says this. He sent back this answer coming from Mordecai. "Do not think that because you are in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but you may have come to your royal position for such a time as this." It's a great line that we hear over and over again, but I want to affirm in your heart that you were born for such a time as this. How do I know this? Because God is all about the detail, and he never does anything on a whim. He never does anything on a whim. It's always pre-planned. It's always predestined. It's always worked out. He knows exactly what's happening from start to finish. He already knows the end of the story. Read the end of the book. We win. God wins. There is no defeat for those who are in Christ. There is no defeat because God knows the beginning from the end. Why? Because he is Alpha and Omega this morning. And God is here and he's in our lives and he's here to declare that you were born for such a time as this. And church, we need to know that God has purposed us and planned us to be born in these moments at these times because he has a unique calling on our lives that only we can fulfill. And this is what it says in verse 15. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for three days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even if it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. I want to try to set the scene of just how grave the circumstances are if we don't know it already. Decree has been set. It's irreversible. It's unchangeable. In a year's time, all of the Jews will be wiped out. Now, the king does not realize that Esther is a Jew because Mordecai told her back from early days, don't give away your identity. Don't give away your nationality. God was prompting him. Obviously, God was leading him in that conversation. So he doesn't know who she is, and she's in a place of prominence and a place of position. But what I want you to realize this morning is that even though Esther was a queen, she carried no authority. Absolutely no authority. She was just there for the king's fancy. So she was a queen by name, but had no power whatsoever. And so the dangerous plan was set in place where Queen Esther would go to the king and she would share to the king of the land, King Xerxes, and say, hey, save my people, spare my people. But the dilemma was this, is that if she wasn't invited into the throne room, what could very easily happen is that the king would just destroy her. He would just delete her out. He would just put her to death. So whenever she goes into his presence, she's in fear and tremble because she knows unless the king lowers his golden scepter to me, that shows a place of acceptance. But if he doesn't do that, I'm dead. I'm gone. And so that's why Mordecai starts off with the story and what we've just read. And he says this, hey, don't think if you try to save your life that you'll be left out. Somewhere along the lines, you'll be caught up in this too because you are a Jew and we're here together. And I think one of the big things that God wants to remind us of is that us as a church, we are a church body and a church family. And when one person hurts, everybody hurts. No matter whether we like that or not, because we are one body, 1 Corinthians tells us, connected under Christ. He is the head. And when we hurt together. And when we don't hurt because somebody else is hurting, it's because we've decided not to hurt. But that never works because we are connected. We are one family under Christ. And Mordecai goes to Esther and he says, I want you to know we are one family here. You've been promoted into a place of position. Maybe you've been called for such a time as this. And I want to encourage you in the steps you take for God, they will be dangerous. There will be moments where it will feel dangerous, where it will feel scary. And it's in those moments we have to remind ourselves, what did Esther 4:14 say? Maybe I was born for such a time as this. And if I was born for such a time as this, maybe God has a plan in place and maybe God will save me. But if I perish, I perish. That's an incredible line for Esther to come out of because she's in an incredible position of prominence. Her life was set, but Mordecai's trying to tell her, you are here for such a time as this. Maybe you're here for something else. And I think in those moments, what Mordecai is doing is calling out to that mother instinct, which is in Esther, which all moms have, that says, it's not about me, it's all about you. Sounds a lot like Jesus. And in that moment, she ends up becoming a savior for all of the Jewish people as she shares to the king and tells them what to do next. She risks it all. Chapter 7, verse 3 says this, then Queen Esther answered, says the king has asked her, what do you want from me? He says, if I find favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. Remember, she said my people. She's never, ever identified with the Jews before. This is life-threatening. Spare my people. This is my request. And this morning, just to think about what she does, she speaks out against the king's decree. Remember, the king has put his words into stone. He has said, this is what's going to happen. This can be unchangeable. This is irreplaceable. She speaks out against that. She goes into the inner courts that she's not invited to. She declares who her true identity is, which is she belongs to the Jews. She belongs to God. And she stands there in fear and trembling. I wonder what could happen. She risks it all. I want to encourage us this morning as we go through life. There are going to be times where it feels like we're going to have to risk it all for the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you this, whether we perish or not, it is worth it because God is worth it. And remember, we're going to a kingdom that we will live forever. I'm encouraging us this morning, take risks in the places that we find ourselves, especially when we know God's call on our lives. And here's the big question this morning before we look at a few things that I feel God wants to show us from the book of Esther, is that what is God calling us to that we haven't put in place yet? We had a friend here last night, he was sharing, Andy said this, he goes, I kept asking God for what he wanted me to do, and God kept saying, what have I already told you? And I think this is really important to remind ourselves. What has God already told us? What have we ran away from? His one was funny. I'll share it with you because it was funny, but it was the real thing. Is that God kept telling him, go to England to fulfill your dreams. Go to England to fulfill your dreams. And he didn't want to do it. He wanted to stay at home. He just liked home, liked being about home, didn't want to go there. And eventually, after years and years and years, he goes to England. And guess what? He fulfills his dreams. He fulfills all the dreams and the purposes that God had for him. Every one of his heart's desires were met there, but it took him risking it all to go to England. He said this. He packed up all his stuff. He was 6 months engaged, was it that he said? He had £600 in his bank account, and that was it. Everyone else was in the back of the car, and he went, and he lived by faith for the next few years with God. Most exhilarating time of his life, most scary time of his life, and it started off with a risk-it-all step. And God says this morning, what is the call that he has put on your life? And if you don't know the call, then ask God, because he is a good God. And he wants to remind you of what the call is. And if he has called you and he has told you what it is, then ask him to remind you what that is. And then say, God, give me the courage to do that. Because usually the thing that you don't want to do is the thing you need to do to fulfill the call and the purposes that God's got on your life. Okay, let us look at just a few things before we finish this morning. I want to look at 5 quick things. You're called, but it's not always going to be easy. Here's the good news for you. You are called, but it's not always going to be easy. You're called. You're absolutely called, but it will not always be easy. I'll tell you when it will get easy, when we get to heaven. That's when it's going to be amazing. We will do all, rest, relax, be filled, be refreshed, do all that we need to do. But when we're here, it's not always going to be easy. But a lot of things that we do that aren't easy are worth it. And the outcomes are rewarding. And God says this morning, there are challenges that you will face. There are things that I'm leading you to that are not always going to be easy, but they're going to be worth it. Even when I don't speak directly, even when God doesn't directly speak in those given situations, he is with us. And I want us to know that this morning. Esther was in a time of her life where maybe she wasn't hearing the direct voice of God because we don't read about it. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. But in that book, we don't read about it. And in that book, I think God wants to give us a lesson. There are times where you may not hear as clearly and as well as you did in the past. But know if God's with you, he never, ever leaves you. So keep going. Keep moving forward. The call of God is good. It is good, but it is not always easy. And Esther found that. Esther found that there's opposition along the way. But I believe this, that opposition can be the pathway to our destination. Is that the opposition that we face, the obstacles that we have to go over, can actually be the very traction that we need to get to the next place, to get to the next place. The things that we go through could be the things that we need to learn to get to the next phase, to the next part of the vision, to the next part of the dream that God has called us. And every single step that we have taken on the process of us personally in church, there have been hard steps, difficult steps, steps that we wish that we could skip. But when we look back, we realize they were the most important ones to help us for today and for tomorrow and for the next day after that. There are things that God is trying to teach us through the opposition that we face. Esther faced incredible opposition, and yet she kept going through it because she knew that God had a plan and he was working things out. Second thing this morning is this, the time to follow God's plan is nigh. I think we need to know this. The time to follow God's plan is nigh. Esther's biggest thing was, maybe God has called me for such a time as this. Maybe this is my time. Maybe this is it. It wasn't a maybe that God has called her. It was a maybe that, maybe this is when I should step out. Maybe this is my now moment. And I want to encourage us this morning that we can for too often just get stuck in the middle of bouncing here, there, and everywhere and waiting and waiting and waiting. But what is it that God has called you? There will never be a perfect season. There will never be a perfect day. There will never be perfect scenarios. So maybe you just got to go for it. Maybe this is your day. Maybe now is the moment that we grasp all that God has given us and we bring it with us. We've been called for such a time as this. There's an important note in the middle of Esther that we read, and we skipped through it quicker earlier, but I want to rest on it for just a moment, is that she said, I'm going to pray for 3 days. I'm going to fast and pray for three days. I want to clear my mind. I want to fast and pray for 3 days because I just need to get my mind clear in this thing. She's going to take the biggest step of faith she's ever taken. I need 3 days to fast and pray. What about us in our lives? What about us in our lives? What does our prayer life look at the moment? Look like? What does that look like at the moment? We were at just a mini leaders conference this last couple of days, and the biggest thing that Lord really convicted both Nikki and I on was just our prayer times. We got to go deeper in our prayer times. We got to go deeper in our prayer times as a church. We got to go deeper in our prayer times personally. We got to go after God more because that's where he is. That's the voice of the Lord. Every time we're praying, we're talking to God, and he's talking to us. What an incredible thing. I mean, this is good this morning. You're listening to me. That's great. But I want to hear from God. He is incredible. And it's through prayer times we get locked into his presence. And he does things like you wouldn't believe. Here's the biggest thing that I learned as we were stepping into faith with planting this church and stepping into Vibe was that where I learned the most was getting on my knees. Getting on my knees in prayer and asking God to speak boldly into my heart. Was it easy? Was it convenient? Was it what I wanted to do necessarily? No. I wanted to read a book. I wanted to download a podcast. I wanted somebody to prophesy. I wanted just somebody to tell it, and I wanted to take it easy. But I realized there was times where I had to get on my knees and pray. And on those moments, sometimes ours, God would suddenly start to speak. And he suddenly started to do something. I was speaking to a friend this week, and he said this. I fasted and prayed for 40 days. It was just a water fast. I'm like, whoa, a water fast. I was like, that is incredible. I says, what were you doing when you're fasting and praying? He says, I was praying. I was like, okay, awesome. I says, how long are you praying for? He says, I was praying for hours every day. I was like, whoa, that's incredible. And one other guy turned around and says, well, how on earth did you pray for that long? And this is a good guy, he's a pastor of a church. He says, how do you pray for that long? That's incredible. And he came out with something so simple but so important. He says, when you've got a burden, you're going to pray. When you've got a burden, you're going to pray. He says, what was your burden? He says, I was praying for my wife's life. She had cancer. She had no hope. There was no escape for her. She was doomed to die. After, he says, on the 37th day, I heard God speak. He said this. She's going to go through some pain. She's going to go through some operations, but she's going to be cancer-free and she's going to live. She was there that day. That was 15 years ago. And church, I want to remind us today that there are times when we need to get on our knees and we need to fast and pray instead of worrying. We need to get on our knees. We need to turn off Facebook. We need to turn off our phones and we need to fast and pray because I know we live in an instant world, but God doesn't like to work like that a lot of the times. He likes to slow us down. He likes to slow us down so that our hearts get in rhythm with his heart and we start to say, God, what is your desires? What do you want to do here? And remember what God told him in that moment. He says, your wife's going to go through pain. She's going to go through operations, but she will live. It wasn't, I'm going to heal her instantly. And yet God can do that. He said, I'm going to give you strength for the journey. And on the 37th day of no food, no, just water, God spoke. And it comes back to sometimes a question of this. How desperate do we want things? How desperate are we after God sometimes? What's the burden in your hearts? And I want to encourage you, if you're finding it hard to pray, what's the burden in your heart? If you don't have a burden, it can be extremely hard to pray. Maybe God wants to burden you for the lost. That's an important thing that God wants to burden all of us for. Maybe we need to ask God to burden us for the lost. Maybe we need to ask God to give us a burden. Maybe it's for our family. Maybe it's for our kids. We're talking about moms this morning. If one of their kids gets sick, they don't need to ask for a burden. They've got it. My kid's sick. I'm not eating or sleeping. I'm praying till this thing comes through. And he shared this story, and I thought it was great, and I want to rest on it just for a moment, is that New Testament tells us that the disciples would just, they never cease praying. They'd just be praying over and over and over again. And he said, you know what it looked like for me? It's like, whether consciously or unconsciously, I'd just be praying all the time. Just be praying all the time because it was a concern of mine. It was a burden of mine. I'd just be praying. Church, this morning, Esther prayed for 3 days, and then she went before the king. I believe in those 3 days, the breakthrough was won, and she went before the king. And she may have went in trembling and fear, but the breakthrough had happened in her prayer and fasting because she went before the king. And when you go before the king, you have no other fears to fear because you're with Jesus the king. And then you can go and meet whoever you like. You're going to go in confidence and humility. And she says, if I perish, I perish because I know the king is with me and I know the king is for me. Church, this morning, I want us to call us to times when we know we've got a burden that we've got to go to fast and pray in those moments. A couple of other quick things as we finish. She laid down all to save her people. She was willing to die. We shared it already. She had incredible courage. And there's times in our lives we're going to have incredible courage. Fourth thing, and again, I felt the Holy Spirit rest on this, was obedience. Esther had ultimately obedience. We need to have obedience in our lives. There are things that God is calling us to do, and we haven't done them yet, and I'm asking why. And the simple reason is lack of obedience. And maybe it's fear that has stopped us doing it. Maybe it's time to stop us doing it. Maybe it's just like lack of courage to stop us doing it. But ask God to enable us for that because God has called us to be obedient, obedient people. What led Jesus to the cross? Obedience to the Father. He says, it's not my will, but your will, Father. I don't want to speak a single word that you haven't spoken. I don't want to go a single place that you haven't told me to go because I want to honor you in obedience and love. Obedience is in love. If we want to love and honor God, it's in obedience. If we want to love and honor our mom, we are obedient to her. We got to listen to what she says. Obedience is vitally important. And what are the things that God has called you to that you've got to be obedient to? I mean, Mordecai comes to Esther and he gives her the plan, but she had to be obedient in that. She had to be obedient, courageous and obedient in that plan. And as she was, God was faithful. Don't forfeit obedience. Obedience to God is incredible. The Old Testament tells us over and over again, obedience is better than sacrifice. There are many times I'll say, God, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give that up because it kind of suits me or it would maybe make me feel good. And God says, no, I don't want any of that. I want obedience over here. I'm like, no, that's the one thing I don't want to give. That's the one thing I don't want to give. God says, what do you need to be obedient to this morning? What do you need? What mom do you need to be obedient to? But who do you need to be obedient to? And what has God called you to do that he wants you to step into? And final thing is this. Sometimes, I know why it is. Maybe it's because of Eve or something. But sometimes our ladies get a hard time. They get a hard time. They get a hard time in church. Like, yeah, you can do all of this, but not that. You get a hard times in a lot of things. Society wants to push our women down. And yet God said that men and women were made in his image. And the Lord is here this morning. He's come to lift us up, both men and women. We need our moms. We need our ladies. We need our women. We are blessed with incredible women in our church. We need our men also, but we're celebrating our women today. And what Esther did at that time was incredible. She stood up as a woman, and she put her life on the line, and she saved a nation. Literally, she saved a nation. A decree was changed. When she went before the king says, okay, we'll change that law. Everything will be changed. It was unheard of. Imagine a woman standing up before the king. He should have put her to death, but God was with her. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you are a lady, then God has plans and purposes on your life, and you are able to save and change nations, not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ. And that's good news this morning. Come on, let's stand. We're going to stand and finish this morning. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. We're going to lift our offering in just a moment. Esther did impossible things.